That's right. It's not just any Thursday night. It's a special Halloween edition of All Over the Map with yours truly, Glenn Fields. We got a lot of special treats in store for you. But right now, here's the Cumbia Queers with Cumbia Zombie.
Sinistro, hein?
All right. What's a little Halloween music without some Esquivel? His version of Lazy Bones right here. Before that, we heard Cumbia Zombie by the Cumbia Queers. Stick around. We've got a little audio collage coming up that I made of some of my coworkers and friends here at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. A little tribute to Glenn Gould. So hope you enjoy that. Happy Halloween, everybody. It's my favorite holiday of the year. Hope it is yours as well. Everybody, That was the Munsters with You Created a Monster. Right here we've got Monster by Fred Schneider from the B-52s. One of my favorite Halloween songs, y'all. Happy Halloween.
A new house today. Moving was hard, but I got squared away. Bell started ringing and chains rattled loud. I knew I'd moved in a haunted house. Still, I made up in my mind to stay. Nothing was gonna drive me away. When I seen something to give me the creep, had one big eye and a two big feet. I stood right still and I did the freeze. He did the stroll right up to me, made a noise with his feet that sound like a drum. Say you'll be here when the morning comes. I'll be here when the morning comes. I'll be right here and I ain't gonna run. I bought this house, now you know I'm bald. Ain't no hang gonna run me off. In my kitchen, my stove was a blazing hot. The coffee was a boiling in the pot.
that melted in my hand. I had a hunk of meat in my hand. From outer space there sat a man on a hot stove with the pots and pans. I say that's hot, I began to shout. He drank a hot coffee right from the spout. He ate the raw meat right from my hand. Drank a hot grease from the frying pan. He said to me, now you better run. Don't be here when the morning comes. See, yes, I'll be here when the morning comes. I'll be right here and I ain't gonna run.
Children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
That was Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross off the hottest new group in jazz record with Halloween Spooks. Before that, we heard a Halloween classic, Haunted House by Jumpin' Gene Simmons. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Jim Morrison of the Doors with Ghost Awake. Song.
Shake dreams from your hair, my pretty child, my sweet one. Choose the day and choose the sign of your day, the day's divinity. First thing you see. Vast, radiant beach and a cool, jeweled moon. Couples naked race down by its quiet side. And we laugh like soft, mad children, smug in the woolly cotton brains of infancy. The music and voices are all around us. Enter again the sweet forest. Enter the hot dream. Come with us. Everything is broken up and dances. Mm-hmm.
Indians scattered on dawn's highway bleeding. Ghosts crowd the young child's fragile eggshell mind.
Must be the season of the witch. how do you do, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Alfred Hitchcock, and this is Music to be Murdered By. It is mood music in a jugular vein, and I hope you like it. Our record requires only the simplest of equipment, an ordinary phonograph needle, a 4-inch speaker, and a .38 caliber revolver. Naturally, the record is long playing, even though you may not be. So why don't you relax, lean back and enjoy yourself until the coroner comes.
I must have been in my early to mid-20s, and I was living in Manchester at the time. It was the first time I'd been away from home for any period of time. I had lived out of home, but nowhere near this far. And it was, you know, that it was a period of time, so I'm clearly from Australia. So traveling to the UK is quite a big deal.
I was about 10 years old, living in upstate New York, in Fillmore, probably someplace no one has ever heard of. And we had a school that was K through 12, so we had no separation. And on Saturday nights, they would have this, like a rec kind of playground, where they would open up the gym area, and you could play volleyball and whatnot, and parents were invited, and that sort of thing. But the rest of the school would be closed.
I think I was 13. My grandfather passed away in Arkansas. And we rushed up there. We didn't know, you know, we were trying to see him before he passed away. He passed away before we got there. So the funeral happens, everything, you know. And I was sleeping in the room that he died in. And yeah, oh yeah, they told me. I was terrified, but they were like, sorry, it's gotta happen. You gotta sit there. So I sleep in that room,
living in New Orleans,
and all night I'm just staring.
2005, right after Hurricane Katrina, so things were kind of shaken up, things were moving around. But I lived in Mid City, off of Bernadotte and Bienville Street, which is right near City Park, right near all of the cemeteries that are in that area of New Orleans. So my apartment was right next to the Mason Cemetery.
I see you all in Australia, so I'm going to go to Manchester.
A lot of German.
But yeah, I was enjoying my time there, had a really good bunch of friends who I'm still in touch with to this day. But I think I was just missing home, and there was one night where I think I was stressed or something. I went to bed, and I woke up in the middle of the night to a knocking on my bedroom
door. I'd be running around with my friends, and this one evening we walk in, and I see out of the corner of my eye through those glass doors a little boy, and he looked to be about my age, so he might have been 9 or 10. And I walk up to the glass doors thinking, you know, we can go in there. And sure enough, they're locked. And then I start to take note that this boy doesn't look right. He's on his tippy toes trying to get drink from the water fountain.
And all night I'm just staring at the chair he died in. Because, you know, I was 13. I was scared. So at about 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, I hear the, like, cabinets in the kitchen just banging. They all start to bang.
And I was like, oh my God. Myself,
like, maybe it's my grandmother. Maybe
I would just hear the front door open, and then someone would just run up the stairs. No other doors would open. And I would look out. Nobody would be in the hallway. I would look into our parking lot. No one would be home. Look on the street. No one would be home. And then they would just run down the stairs. And then they'd run up the stairs. And they would just run down the stairs, whoever it was.
It felt like my dad was knocking on the door, but which is impossible because he lived in Australia at the time and I was in Manchester. And he opens the door, and then it's actually some kind of spirit had appeared, and who I thought was my dad, but obviously it's not my dad, it's a spirit. And came through the door and floated above me and then into my chest and overtook my entire body. And I had some kind of sleep paralysis and I couldn't move. And after the spirit came into my chest, it then disappeared through the wall behind me when I was lying still on my bed. So I had this, like, sleep paralysis.
Blue jeans and a red and white, like, horizontally striped shirt. He's got, like, sandy blonde hair. But his skin is blue and see-through. And I'm like, this is a ghost. My mother has well prepared me. This is a ghost. So, like, I run and I get my friends. I'm like, there's a ghost. There's a ghost. And I only get one of my friends to brave enough to come back and look with me. And she sees the same little kid, who doesn't look at us or acknowledge us, but still just trying to get a drink from the water fountain. He just walked away. Yeah, it's like he was just carrying on with his school day. Like we were never there. But I can still picture him.
Like, oh my God. Maybe it's my grandmother. Maybe she's awake for some reason. So I get up and I go and look out, and there's no one there. And I was like, that's odd. But okay, whatever. So I go back into the living room. I'm just sitting there. And I hear it again. I was like, okay, all right, strange. So I go back and the cabinets are open. I was like, no one's awake. I know no one's awake. But I was like, okay, we're just going to call that a creepy incident.
This was in
and then, so the next day, my grandparents live on a farm.
I just moved back from New Orleans, so I was living here. Was living in Sunset. and was in art school, so I was working late one night in Sunset on a drawing for a class, and some friends called and said, come meet us at Cafe Cottage, come out and have a drink. And so I said, yeah, I've been working on this long enough, like I can go. So I'm driving on I-49, heading south to Lafayette, and it's kind of strange because I think it was either 9:45, 10 o'clock. It wasn't really late by any means, but there was no one on the interstate. There were no cars, nowhere. It was totally still. And I'm driving, and I'm getting past the Karen Crow exit. I'm getting closer, going about 70, and I'm in the left lane, and all of a sudden, standing in the left lane of traffic is a huge white owl with its back to me. And it must have, I mean, in my mind, it was 3 or 4 feet tall. Like, it was huge. Had its back to me, and then it just, like, turned and looked at me. Never flew away. And so I got into the right lane, and then it flew. So I swerved back. I went into the median. My car, it didn't flip on its side, but it turned to the side. And I probably skid for 50 yards. My car just was skidding. And then all of a sudden, I was just back on the interstate, driving 70 miles an hour, like nothing had ever happened. It was the strangest thing, I don't know. And so when I finally got to Cafe Cottage, I walk in, and again, my friends are like, what is going on? You look, and I told them the whole story, and a friend was there, and she mentioned a movie that I can never remember the name of it, but it's a movie that talks about like a psychologist who is investigating people who have had these paranormal experiences, and all of them, what they had in common was before they were abducted, they saw a white owl.
So next day, my grandparents lived on the farm, and I was looking out the window at the farm, and I could see my grandfather and his denim jacket, that white shirt he always wore that had stains on it because he always drank coffee, his like tan, burnt from the sun skin, everything. And he was just standing there, just, you know. He was real, and he waved at me, and I was like, oh my God. And so I told my grandmother, and she was like, yeah, I see him. I see him from time to time, too, you know. So she still sees him to this day. He's still there.
Oh, well, I hope you enjoyed that. Big thanks to Miss Anna, Miss T. Shy, Miss Reagan, and of course my good friend and yours, Miss Leah Gray, for their contributions to that, and their willingness to share some extra special stories with us on this Halloween week. All right, y'all, we'll run down a few tunes for you. Let's see. We had a Jeff Alexander and Alfred Hitchcock with a Music to be Murdered By. That's a fun one. And then before that, Donovan, of course, with his classics, Season of the Witch. And we kicked that one off with a little set with Jim Morrison and Ghost Song. So stick around. There's plenty more to come. Here's some Aaron Neville. Over you.
There'll be a hole about 6 feet deep for you, baby, to take your sleep into a pine box and down. You will stay right, sweet as snow, over you. I said over you, pretty baby, if I ever hear you say that. All your folks will be dressed in black, riding on black Cadillac. Yeah, baby, they'll be putting you away. The funeral home will have the business that day, over you. I said said, I'm gonna slay you, baby. Whoa, now. Over you, pretty baby, if I ever hear you say it through. Said, you'll never leave me. I said, you'll never leave me. Said, I'm gonna get rid of you, baby, if I ever hear you say it through. Whoa, I love you.
gleam that flits across a roving eye. The devil is a hand that moves along a satin seam, a softly whispered, sweetly whispered lie. Place where steps that shouldn't go there goes, a word that touched a heart and made it cry. Strike you funny when you look him in the eye. The devil looks a lot like you and I.
Show, so I can try to smooch her while the lights are low. But she won't cuddle to a story of romance. There's only one way I've got a chance. It takes the Batman, Wolfman, Frankenstein or Dracula to put her in the mood for love. It takes the cat, girl, dog, boy, creature from the Black Lagoon to make her feel like making love. It takes a monster from outer space to make my baby want my embrace. And when I hold her, she's like a dream. If only she can hear somebody scream. We'll be right back.
She doesn't go for parking down in Lover's Lane. And lots of moonlight doesn't drive this girl insane. She thinks that dreamy music really is a bore. But I found out what she's looking for. It takes the Batman, Wolfman, Frankenstein, or Dracula to make her tender as can be. It takes a cat, girl, dog, boy, creature from the Black Lagoon to get her making love.